Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to silverradio.fm. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to silverradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is John Rubino, author of several books on the economy, including The Money Bubble. He founded the website dollarcollapse.com. He's speaking to us from Port Angeles, Washington. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim.
John, do you think the U.S. will ever be able to get its financial house in order?
Absolutely not. Well, I mean, eventually we will, but not under this system. Eventually there will be a breakdown and a reset and everything. But until that time, no, we cannot get our financial house in order because we basically missed our chance. Maybe in the 1990s, we could have scaled back entitlements and limited the size of the military empire and everything. But since then, we've just let everything run. And so you can see the result in the current debate over the debt ceiling. The Republicans want to cut spending. The Democrats would rather raise taxes. But the spending that the Republicans want to cut are limited to just a few tiny sectors because we can't touch the military. That's, both political parties have decided that we need a gigantic military. We can't touch Social Security and we can't touch Medicare, our two big retirement plans. And that's most of the government's budget. So what they're left arguing about is, you know, school lunches and daycare related things and stuff that trying to cut that just makes you look mean-spirited and doesn't actually fix our budget problems in any event. So that's where we are. We are basically on autopilot with debt building up at an accelerating rate, which will eventually destroy this monetary system. So no, we can't, under virtually any circumstance today, get our financial house in order, and we're just going to go off that cliff, and that's all there is to it.
What's your take on the silver shortage story?
That's an interesting story because for most of the past decade, the world's mines have produced a little bit more silver than demand required. In other words, solar panels and jewelry and silverware and people buying coins and things didn't quite equal the amount that was coming out of mines. So we had a surplus. And that led to inventories of silver building up. And that's generally a negative for the price, right? But just in the last couple of years, it's switched. We've gone into a fairly dramatic shortage because the world's mines are not producing enough to cover current demand. And a big part of that is solar panels because each solar panel has a little bit of silver in it. And we're slapping solar panels on roofs all over the world and setting up big solar farms. The demand for solar panels is rising. That's increasing the demand for silver. And then add in gradual increases in other industrial uses and a fairly dramatic recent increase in people buying coins and bars. So there's investment demand. And that's put silver in deficit. So we're eating through the above ground inventory of silver. And a lot of big silver exchanges are seeing their inventories shrink dramatically. So if this continues for not that much longer, we end up with a deficit turning into an actual shortage, which has to be addressed with higher prices. And I don't think we're that far away from that just based on the numbers. You know, the lines have already crossed, and now we're using up the remaining inventory. And at that point, prices have to go up in order to ration demand. So that's a very good thing for silver, and it could end up with dramatically higher silver prices in the next few years, other things being equal.
Why is the supply of silver growing slowly?
Well, the world's mines are just, most silver, first of all, is produced as a byproduct of other kinds of mining, you know, tin and zinc and things like that. And so silver supply from mines depends on the amount of those other things that are being mined. And, you know, it's growing, but it's growing very slowly. And that is limiting the supply of silver. And there doesn't seem to be anything on the horizon to change that.
What's holding the mining industry back?
Well, several things. One is that the big, easy deposits of most mineable minerals and metals have been found already. So the biggest miners with these gigantic mines are seeing their grades decrease and the expense of processing what they're taking out of the ground increase, and that's leading to either slower growth in production or actual production declines. That's happening in copper dramatically lately. You know, copper production needs to soar in order to satisfy the demand of a world that's going electric, and yet it's not really. So that's just going to make the consequences for copper prices that much more severe in the future. And it's kind of the same thing with silver. There's just not that much being produced now because the world's commodity mines are just running out of reserves. Now, that's great for the remaining silver miners that have good assets and are able to produce at current or, you know, higher rates in the future. That makes them a lot more valuable. But it kind of implies that there won't be big increases in silver production overall going forward. So it's good for the price of silver. It's good for the miners that have remaining reserves that are mineable at a profit at today's prices. But it's not great for the people who need to use silver for whatever reason, or really for the investors that haven't done their stacking already. So I think what the supply demand trends in silver imply is that we should be basically getting close to the end of our accumulation because it's not so clear how easy it's going to be to stack silver going forward. So, I'm pretty much done with my accumulation, but I'm tempted to buy more just because a lot of other people are not done, and they're liable to have to buy at panic price levels in the future if they want to get anything done. So it would be nice to anticipate that and profit from it.
What are the odds that gold will be confiscated?
You know, there are various ways to confiscate something. And the way we tried in the U.S. in 1933 or 1934 was to just make gold ownership illegal and demand that everybody turn their gold in. That could happen again, but another way it could happen is that the countries where gold mines operate just dramatically raise their taxes or impose some kind of a windfall profits tax or something like that, or flat out nationalize these mines. That would be a form of gold confiscation, and I think it's more likely than a direct expropriation of all the gold in people's hands. So I think that's a risk factor for gold, or more directly for the gold mining stocks. And I don't think it's a big deal for silver in terms of the silver that you own, because silver is an industrial metal, so it's highly unlikely that governments can get away with any kind of a confiscation because lots of different industries need that metal. So if gold were to be interfered with in some way, that would, other things being equal, push the price of gold up, And it would also send capital that can't get into gold into the silver market. So silver miners might be expropriated or nationalized, but physical silver doesn't look like it's touchable. It doesn't look like the governments of the world can do much about that. So that puts silver in a sweet spot, because silver is not only not hurt by attempts to confiscate gold, but it actually benefits from that. So, you know, if you've got a big pile of silver coins, then, you know, let the governments of the world take over the silver mines. That just makes your stack more valuable. And so that's a good position to be in. That's not a guaranteed scenario by any means, but it's a possibility that is becoming more probable as time goes on. So I think owning a lot of physical silver is one good way to deal with these otherwise unfavorable trends in the metals markets.
Texas legislators recently proposed the state start its own gold-backed digital currency. Is that important?
Yeah, it is. That particular law did not make it all the way through the legislative process. So it's not really, you know, something that the governor is going to have a chance to sign or veto or whatever. But it's a really important indicator of the thought process that's going on out there. A lot of people in state governments understand money much better than the people in the federal government do in the U.S. And they're looking for ways to protect their state from what they see is the ongoing destruction of the dollar. And one way to do that is to make gold and silver legal tender within the state. And Texas proposed setting up their version of a central bank digital currency, but one that's backed by gold. And I think there's some technical issues with the state doing that and everything, but I think the concept is awesome. And other states are looking at variations on that theme. So I think that's pressure pushing us in the direction of sound money. And it can't be a bad thing, however it plays out. And it could be an extremely good thing if some states actually do this and make it work. Then you almost don't need U.S. dollars if your state has a gold-backed digital currency that not only makes your personal physical gold more valuable, but also allows you to keep your version of bank accounts in a place that will appreciate in value because it's backed by gold rather than depreciate as regular bank accounts do right now. So I think it's a good thing however you look at it, and it definitely bears watching. And I'm getting ready to do a post on what other states are doing along these lines on my Substack, because there's actually quite a few states doing interesting stuff.
We'll have more with John Rubino right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to SilverRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome back. We're speaking with John Rubino. John, can you put together a bullish case for silver and a bearish case for silver?
Yeah, let's start with the bearish case, because that's kind of staring us in the face right this minute. Silver is an industrial metal. And if the economy slows down and industry produces less solar panels or electric cars or sets up fewer power plants and runs less wiring out there, you know, all those things that a growing economy does and a shrinking economy does less of, that means less demand for silver, probably lower prices, and very possibly an equities bear market, because it means also lower corporate profits. And that could suck precious metals down. That's the way it happened in 2008 and 2020. We saw equities crash and gold and silver fall in sympathy. Both times they bounced hard and went on to new highs. But in the short run, you could easily see a return of, say, $12 silver in U.S. dollars, just because the economy is slowing so dramatically. And that's what worries me about silver and pretty much all the industrial and monetary metals right now. Now, the bullish case is partially what we talked about before. Silver has tipped into deficit, a structural deficit that doesn't look like it's going away. And those things normally have to be solved either by using up inventory, which we've already done, or much higher prices to ration demand. In other words, you chase out the weak buyers with a higher price and leave only the people who desperately need whatever it is. And that could easily happen with silver. So longer term, silver, the case for silver is extremely bullish. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see $50 silver in the coming couple of years and much higher prices beyond that. In the short run, I think there's a case for hoping for one last crack in the silver price, because that's our chance to buy at maybe even reduced premiums too, you know, lower prices and reduced premiums, because for a little tiny bit of time, supply exceeds demand. And that would be our last chance really to load up. So we might look back on a quick sharp drop in the price of silver as, you know, a life-changing opportunity if we just take advantage of it. So that's the happy part of a silver bear market here. And I think decent chance of seeing it. And if we do see it, we need to recognize it for what it is, a very temporary thing in a very long upswing in silver's price, and then load up at that point.
Anything else we should be keeping an eye on silver-wise?
Well, silver-wise, not really. It's a great story. Premiums are kind of high. In other words, if you buy a Maple Leaf or a Silver Eagle or something like that, you're paying way above spot. But in the coin market, there's a huge spectrum of silver coins. And for instance, Philharmonics, Austrian silver coins, have much lower premiums right now than, say, Gold Eagle or Silver Eagles. So if you're going to be buying now, pay very good attention to the premiums that you have to pay, because really you just want silver. You don't need it to be legal tender in the U.S. or something like that, although there are advantages to having Silver Eagles. They're recognized by everybody, so you have zero trouble using them for transacting. But in the middle of these completely anonymous just silver rounds and silver eagles at the other end of the spectrum, there are a lot of recognizable silver coins that have lower premiums but are still recognizable enough that you can use them without having to explain why the coin says what it says and everything. So I think that's really the sweet spot right now. And if you can find a good deal, if you can find, say, silver Philharmonics for $28 US an ounce or something like that, it's a pretty good time to buy some, at least, and make that part of your dollar cost averaging. Let's see, what else? I think there's a decent chance that we head, at least in the US, into a recession pretty quickly here, because everything seems pretty placid, but under the surface, there are an awful lot of indicators pointing towards a very hard second half in the U.S. and a recession that very possibly turns into something a lot deeper. We aren't really equipped anymore with the kind of resilience that a well-run, financially solid country normally has to be able to handle emergencies. And between, you know, the banking system and commercial real estate, which is tanking, and housing, which is kind of frozen in the U.S., and it goes on and on. There are a lot of other things that are wrong with the economy now and getting worse. And I think once we settle this this stupid debt ceiling thing, then people are going to go back to looking at, wow, what's happening with the leading indicators, and you know, what's happening with home prices, and the answers are going to be brutally negative. So I think that a recession is coming, and if you're sophisticated enough and brave enough to want to try shorting stocks, now might be a pretty good time to do it. For some people, that's a don't try this at home kind of thing, because it's new and it's technical, slightly technical. But if you understand how to do that, this is one of those times when the odds are in your favor, just because the economy is slowing so dramatically, and that normally affects stock prices equally dramatically. So I think we're heading into one of those times again. And I think instead of just trying to limit our losses, we have a chance to make some money by betting against this market. So I'm doing that to an extent, and we'll probably do more if this thing drags on.
John, thank you so much for being on silverradio.fm.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, can I plug my Substack before we go?
I was just going to mention it, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm have a Substack newsletter at rubino.substack.com, and it covers a lot of the stuff we just talked about, but focuses mostly on actionable stuff. In other words, what are the best miners we should be owning, and how do you own gold, and how do you prep? How do you make yourself invisible from all the people trying to spy on you? Stuff like that. So we're building a community there of people who are trying to sort all this stuff out, and so far, so good.
John, thanks again.
Thanks, Jim.
My guest has been John Rubino. I'm Jim Goddard. Comments made on silverradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at HouseStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. SilverRadio.fm is a production of House Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.